Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this opportunity to hear your word. Let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts and minister to us right where we are, and then lift us to the place you'd have us to be. We thank you for the opportunity to know you aright. We thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Ghost who can take the text and tailor it so that he teaches each and every one of us your truth. And we give you praise, glory, and honor for what you shall reveal this day by way of principles to practice, that we might receive the profit and give you the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 6, verse 67. John chapter 6, verse 67. And it says, and Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, what would make somebody leave Jesus? What would make somebody leave Jesus? When I looked at the text over and over and over again, it became conspicuously obvious that the text answered those questions. Jesus, in the verses that precede the 67th verse, was in the midst of taking them on a spiritual journey. He was reminding them of their past, and he was sharing with them their future. And he brought to pass the reality of their history, how God fed the people of God in the wilderness with manna that fell from heaven. But Jesus told them that he was the living bread. that he also came from heaven, and that they must eat of him. And when they would eat of him, they would secure eternal life. Jesus began to speak to them and bring spiritual truths to their hearing, but not quite to their understanding. They heard him, but they did not understand him. And Jesus continued to deal with them, and as he dealt with them in Capernaum, in the synagogue, there were those who left with issues underneath the skin. They said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Jesus continued in his discourse, and he tells them, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me." And then he goes further to tell them, let me make it plain, you can't come to me unless my Father gives you to me. You can't do this in the natural. It has to be done in the supernatural. And Jesus continues to deal with them in a spiritual way that they do not comprehend, because there are some things that are not settled underneath their skin. And so when we begin to look at that, you're going to note that verse 66 of this sixth chapter says, "And many of his disciples turned back and walked no more with him." My brothers and sisters, I tell you, it'll answer the question why some folk leave church. And it's not because they are led to leave church. It's because these verses reveal why they do. Why people leave Christ. Why people leave Jesus the Savior, because there are some issues underneath their skin that has not been settled. Well, one of the things that you'll note as we answer the question, what would make someone leave Jesus, is to ask yourself, like the text gives us understanding of the folk who walked with him. They were around him, but they really weren't with him. And I've discovered, my brothers and sisters, people are hanging around you for a whole lot of different reasons. And when it begins to cost something to hang around you, then you'll find out who's really sincere. You will find out who's really with you. You will discover who's there for the right reason and who's there for the wrong reason. You will feel in your spirit, discern with the truth, that those who are there for the right reason will be there when the smoke clears. But every now and then you wonder why. And Jesus answers this question through the text, because when I noted in the text what the Spirit of the living God just lifted from the pages of Holy Writ, it made sense. The first reason why folk leave Jesus is because of their convictions. If your conviction is not sure, then you 9 out of 10 times will not complete the journey. Because there will be challenges, there will be trials, there will be situations, there will be doctrines, there will be realities that you must deal with and be convicted of, because you are convinced that Jesus is who he say he is. You see, their convictions were messed up because they didn't believe that Jesus was that living bread. They didn't really believe that he was the Son of God. They didn't really believe he was the one who would save them. Matter of fact, they raised the question, wasn't this Joseph and Mary's son? How could he be the living bread that came from heaven? They were not convicted about their convictions of Jesus Christ being the Savior. In other words, their convictions were not sure. They were just going around to see and to prove themselves right. You see, some folk are hang around you until they prove to themselves you ain't what they think you are. I wish I had somebody to talk to me here. They're not hanging around to get proof that you're right. They're not hanging around to see you prove that you can back up what you say you are. They're hanging around to collect enough proof to say, I told you so. And so their convictions were not sure. And my brothers and sisters, I don't care what relationship you are in, whether it's spiritual or sacred, if your convictions are sure, may I tell you, you will be there to the end. But if your convictions are not sure, you're just waiting for enough evidence to be able to find your exit. Talk to me, somebody. You got a sneaky suspicion, something just, I can't put my, y'all gonna talk with me here? It's something on the inside that won't let you rest. And you're just waiting until you collect enough evidence to be able to say, I am out of here. Sometimes it takes years and years and years and years, and you wonder why people who are married for many, many years finally get a divorce. It's because one of them has finally said, I've got enough. Their convictions were not sure. But then the second thing I discovered through scripture was that their commitment was not strong. If your convictions are not sure, then your commitments will not be strong. See, some people make a commitment to be a part of something as long as it's convenient for them. Some people will make a commitment, put their name on the roll, say, I'm a part of that, as long as it doesn't require them to stand up and be counted. Some folk don't have a problem with a commitment as long as the commitment doesn't cause them to change. Some folk don't have a problem with a commitment as long as the commitment agrees with their agenda. And so their commitment was not strong. Wait a minute, if their commitment was strong, it would have been because their convictions were sure. If the Christ says we have to eat his flesh and drink his blood to be a part of him because he is the Christ, then so be it. That's settled. That's non-negotiable. That's non-discussable. That's non-debatable. He is who he say he is, and we've got to do what he tell us to do. But their commitment did not take them to that level. It wasn't a strong commitment. And you know, my brothers and sisters, just like in church, you got folk who have their name on the roll, which commits them to the responsibility of a member, but they don't tithe because their commitment isn't that strong. And the reason their commitment isn't that strong is because their conviction isn't that sure. They don't really believe if I bring the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in his house, that if I try him, that if I test him, because he said, prove me, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you shall not have room enough to receive it. They don't believe it, so they don't do it. That's in the Old Testament. So is not putting nobody else ahead of God. So is thou shalt not commit adultery. So is thou shalt not bear false witness. So is, and on and on and on. That's still real today. No, the truth of the matter is that paying tithes will take their play money away. Paying tithes will cause them not to get some of the luxuries that they want to get. Paying tithes mean that they would have to give up some stuff, and they're not really concerned about financing the work of God because they have their own agendas. They want to ride high. They want to dress fine. They want big shiny rings, even if they have to get cubic zirconia first. Talking about you got to fake it till you make it. Instead of saying, Lord, you placed me here to do my responsible part, I'm trying to get it together so Jesus can come back. That means we've got to get the gospel out. We've got to take the mission to the world. We've got to do our part. And I'm here reporting for duty. Let me do my part. But their commitment is not that strong. When you ask them just to do their part. Talking about I'm so sick and tired of them always asking for stuff. But they don't care that cigarettes are almost $5 a pack. I mean, it bothers me on a hot day, hotter than hell, they pulling out cigarettes, smoking sweat. Cigarette just hanging on a little. They just can't do without talking. Can't do without it. I need a cigarette. They get upset. They don't pray. I need a cigarette or drink or whatever it is that fits your fancy. But when it comes to supporting the work of God, the commitment is not that strong. And they act as if they have not been commissioned to support the work of God. But then, thirdly, and I'm going to sit on down, I denoted in the text that their concerns were not spiritual. Their convictions were not sure, and their commitments were not strong because their concerns were not spiritual. Yes, sir. My brother, my sister, the problem with most folk is they get caught up in stuff that just doesn't matter. And they're willing to forfeit their Christianity behind stuff that just don't matter. And when you get yourself in a place like that, it means you've taken your eye, your focus off of Jesus and placed it on junk. It means that you're not really there for the reason you ought to be there. Getting what you ought to get, giving what you ought to give, being what you ought to be. And their concerns were about fleshly issues. And Jesus was trying to take them up to spiritual issues. And so the record is, and Jesus said unto the 12, because verse 66 says that many of his disciples, not all, but many, turned back and walked no more with him. You know, there are just some people that have so many issues underneath the skin that they can't even get along with themselves. I've discovered when you got problems like that and you can't come to the source and get an answer from the source, it's because you don't really want an answer. You just want to deal with, live in your hang-ups. It's bad when you can't even live with you. I think I may have told you a little story about a man who had been shipwrecked. And he'd been there for many years. So much so that he had stopped looking for help. He did everything that he could do to try and get the attention of airplanes and ships far away. And then finally one morning he was cooking breakfast on the beach. And a rescue ship saw the smoke and made its way to the seashore. And there they found the man. And the man wasn't really too excited about being rescued because he had adapted to life there on the island. So when they found the man and the man was eating his breakfast, the man said, well, before we leave, he said, I'll take you for a tour of the island. So the man took them, the rescuers, on a tour of the island. He was walking with them. And he pointed to one building. He said, you see that building right there? That's my house. That's where I live. And he walked a little further. And he said, you see that building right there? And they said, let me guess. It's your church. He said, the steeple gave it away, didn't it? He said, yeah. That's where I worship. And they walked a little further and they saw another church. And the man didn't want to sit. And he said, well, what's that other building over there? And he said, well, that's my old church. That's where I used to worship till they made me mad and I resigned my membership. You'll catch that when you wake up. Now, he's the only one on the island. And so Jesus turns to the 12 and says, will ye also go away? Peter says, as he answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Listen to what he says. He says, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was saying, listen, Lord, listen, where can we go? To whom shall we go? You got everything we need right here. And I can't help but think, many folk don't travel that far in their thinking when they leave Jesus. Where you really going to go? Who's really going to be a closer direct link to God than Jesus? What can you do to rise above the position and the place and the prominence of Jesus? But my brother, my sister, I hope and I pray that you're not one of those folk who will ever even consider leaving Jesus because their convictions, your convictions, are not sure. If you aren't sure of anything else, you ought to be sure that Jesus is Lord. Matter of fact, the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Oh, you've got to be sure of it because one day you were sinking deep in sin, never to rise again. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Y'all sitting here like I ain't talking to you. You ought to be so sure that if you didn't have another witness, the fact that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're sure you know Jesus is my Savior. Have I got a witness in the house? You ought to be that sure that no matter what storm comes up, what trials come up, what tests come up, Jesus will take care of you. Have I got a witness in the house? You ought to be so sure that no matter how down you go, how far you fall, the one thing you do know is Jesus lifted me. Anybody been lifted in the house? I could keep on talking, but you ought to have that kind of conviction. And then not only should you have that conviction, but you ought to have that kind of commitment. Lord, if you need somebody, here am I. Send me. And then lastly, you ought to be concerned about spiritual things. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Do you know him? Do you know him? Isn't he able? I said, isn't he able? Isn't he able? That's all, that's all, that's all. I got one more service to do, that's all. That's all. That's all. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, Jesus calls you. The Spirit of the living God draws those whom God has given him to him. You're not here by accident. God loves you. God calls you. God bless you. God bless you. And if God's Spirit is speaking to you today, right here, right now, he wants you to come now. What would make someone leave Jesus? Many of his disciples turned back and walked no more with him. But what I'm so glad about is if you've missed the mark, if you've turned back, you can turn back right again. Just as you are, without one plea. God bless you. You can come to Jesus. He loves you. He's waiting on you. He's prepared heaven for you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. This is your time. This is your time. This is your time. Don't let the devil fool you. God's got this thing fixed.
For my way, you're the... Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806, or call area code 225-774-8040. 8040, leaving your name, address, and order. Or you can purchase today's message at Stars Beauty Salon, 525 16th Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, on Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Thursday and Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
You have just tuned in to Monte L. DeMars' Ministries. Get ready to be propelled into your destiny, stirred for your new season,